Luke 23. And I'm going to read you something from Job. You don't have to turn there, but it's Job 42. Verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, let's start in Luke 23, verse 44. Jesus is on the cross, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. So Jesus is on the cross, and I want to read this again. Starting in verse 45, the sun was darkened. In the other Gospels, it says, for a full around the entire earth, the sun didn't shine anywhere on planet Earth. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands do I commend my spirit. And then you can read in John chapter 19, verse 30, that Jesus said, it is finished. So three things happened here that I just want to talk to you about for a few minutes. Jesus cried with a loud voice. Jesus said, it is finished. And Jesus also said, into your hands do I commit my spirit. And I just read about Job, how Job had his captivity turned and the Lord gave him twice as much. And Jesus on the cross, I just want you to picture this with me. Jesus on the cross, bearing the sin and the pain, the sickness and the grief of all of humanity. How many of you have ever been through something that hurt real bad, physically, financially, or emotionally in your soul? And you know, when you go through something like that, some of the thoughts that you're thinking is, I didn't know that I could hurt this bad. I didn't know that you could have this much financial trouble. I didn't know that you could have this much emotional pain. I didn't know it was possible to hurt. You're like the guy that could bench press 30 pounds. And then he decided, I'm going to bench press 500 pounds. And so in one day he's working out, and the next day he can't get out of bed. He's sore in places he didn't know existed. You know, you get hurt in places you didn't know existed. Lord, I didn't know I could hurt like this. I didn't know that this could happen this way. And the grief that we go through, the pain that we go through, I want to remind you tonight that Jesus bore your griefs. And he carried your sorrows. There's nothing that you're going through that he is not a faithful high priest for. That he has been right there and he's standing right there. And not only does he hurt with you, he hurts a little bit and maybe quite a bit worse than you do, because his heart is so much bigger than yours. And he cares for you more than you care for yourself in what you're going through. And if you've ever hurt bad enough that a cry just came out of your mouth that you didn't plan. You're praying, and all of a sudden something just rips out of your soul, and it was a cry. And it was almost embarrassing. You might have been glad nobody heard you let something out like that, because of the trouble that you're going through, because of the pain that you felt. If you've ever had a cry come out of your anguish, you know what I'm about to say here, that Jesus, it says he cried with a loud voice. And I read this in all of the Gospels, that it doesn't say that he cried certain words. He did say something, but there was a specific thing that he did, and all he did was cry. Right before this, he screamed out, he hollered out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want you to know tonight that if God turned his back on Jesus for just a sliver in time, I cannot fathom the pain. I can't fathom how difficult that would have been. But whatever you're going through tonight, and how, I don't care if it's going to get a whole lot better from here on out, or if it's going to get a whole lot worse, whatever you're going through and whatever's going to happen in your life, Jesus has been there for you and in your behalf. And you're not facing that alone. He has already been there. And I could take you to Romans chapter 6 and prove to you logically in the word that you have also been there, because you were buried with him by baptism into death. And you are also, like as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, you've been risen into new life with him. It's Romans chapter 6. So Jesus has been there. You think there's no way out of this situation? I can't make it. It's impossible. Jesus has been there. And not only has he been there, but he took you through the situation when he was on the cross. Hallelujah. The trouble that you're fighting, the things that you're standing against, the mountain that is in your life has already been defeated 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And man, we want to say, well, Jesus did it, but I can't do it. No, if you just read Romans 6, it's not my message tonight, but Jesus and you did it at the same time. You are buried with him by baptism into death, and you're raised up with him by life, by the glory of the Father. So you can make it through whatever you're facing tonight. Jesus is there on the cross. He died before the other two criminals did. I can't imagine what he was going through. I mean, when you walk through things and you don't know how you're going to make it out, the only thing that you know to do is just take the next step. When you think, God, I can't handle one more day of this. 6 months later, I can't handle another day. You know what I'm talking about. And Jesus is there on the cross, and the Bible says, I want you to read this again. Just look at it. It's just important to see the word. Luke 23. And if you have your Bible, I want you to just look at this in your Bible. Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, when Jesus cried with a loud voice, you can read this in the other Gospels. Jesus just let out a yelp. He just let out, with all of the grief, the burden, and the sin of humanity, Jesus just lets out a groan. And I cannot imagine what that groan would have sounded like. I cannot imagine, if you think of somebody who's been through something horrific, a death in the family, and the cry that comes out. I cannot imagine what Jesus felt on the cross. I cannot imagine what the sound that he made when he cried out, when the Son of God, who walked a perfect life, that was not detoured by anything. He had raised people from the dead, opened blinded eyes, and done all the things that he did, that he was the incarnate God in the flesh. But something was hitting him so hard that he just cried out. Man, there on the cross, I want you to know Jesus cried out. He's felt that. And when we are in the same situation, you can be in a place where you don't know what to do and you just cry out because you don't know what else to do. You don't know how you're going to make it another day. And there's one thing that I know that makes sense, and it's what Pastor has preached over the years, and it's don't quit. You know you're in that place when the only thing that makes sense is don't quit. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to move the mountain. I don't know what prayer to pray. I don't know what praise to praise anymore. I got in the jail. I praised you longer and louder than Paul and Silas did, and nothing happened. I prayed longer than Isaiah did. I've done all this stuff, and I don't know what to do, God, but I'm not going to quit on my faith. Jesus is on the cross, and he lets out a cry. And man, I wish I could preach it like it deserves to be preached right now, but just imagine, I want you to picture with me the cry that he let out. We got to understand what's going on here. We got to understand that the things that we face, Jesus has already been there, and it's easy to think about that. But I want this to get embedded into your heart tonight to think, Jesus, look at what he went through. He wasn't up there just shouting and doing the two-step and a Holy Ghost dance on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then moments later, he cries out a cry it's just a scream. He just hollered out because of what he was having to go through on our behalf. Jesus lets out a cry. It was the most grief-filled cry that there ever was. One of those involuntary cries. The other thing that he said is, it is finished. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And I remember Pastor said years ago, he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. And I'm running through this message right now, but God, when you are going through situations, when you're fighting the fight of faith, when you're moving mountains, God is not only at work on the mountain, he's not only at work on the outside, but he's at work on the inside of you. James said, let patience have her perfect work, that you would be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God can move a mountain in a half second if he needs to. But Jesus said, it is finished, because there was another work going on. There was a huge work going on, the salvation of humanity. He said, it is finished there on the cross. Something may be finished in your life. but it's not over. Can you say amen tonight? It may be, something may be finished in your life, but it's not over. Because we serve the resurrection in the life. God is working an exceeding eternal weight of glory in you. So be eternal minded tonight. Be eternal minded. The third thing that Jesus said on the cross was, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Paul said in Romans 1 verse 9 that he says, "I serve him with my spirit." Very interesting what Paul said. In the conclusion of some of Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, and I believe it's Philippians and Galatians, and in the conclusion to some of his letters, he said, "The grace of the Lord God be with your spirit." And in Romans 1, 9, he says, "I serve the Lord with my spirit." And then Jesus here says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I want you to know tonight that when you're fighting that fight of faith, you can serve the Lord with your spirit. When you feel like your emotions are shot, when you feel like your finances are shot, when you feel like your physical body is shot, and you don't know what to do, you can just commend your spirit into the hands of God. And I'm not saying go to heaven too early. I'm saying you can serve the Lord with your spirit. You can get and tap into the realm of the spirit and begin to tap into the source of life. And there's some of you that really needed to hear that tonight. I want to encourage some of you tonight. That just was an arrow of the Lord that just hits you in the heart. I want to encourage you to take time in the prayer closet and just get into the Spirit. Where like John said in the book of Revelation, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Well, some of you just need to get in the Spirit. You can't continue to think through that situation in your head. You've done it 1,000 times and it's failed 1,000 times. You couldn't figure it out the first 1,000 times. You're not going to figure out it another 1,000 times. Just get into the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Get into the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When it seems you've had great loss in the physical, financial, or emotional realm, commit your spirit to Him. Now, and I know you may think, David, it's kind of weird how you had all the joy. I didn't have all the joy. The joy of the Holy Ghost is flowing in, and you bring such a solemn word. I'm going somewhere with this tonight, so just stay happy with me. Recently, not too long ago, I asked the Lord. I was like, "Lord, why? Why?" You know, you ask the Lord questions sometimes, and you don't, you know, sometimes you wonder if you're just in the flesh complaining. And, you know, sometimes we, at least with me, maybe I'm the only one who asks God questions that I probably shouldn't have asked, I didn't get an answer, and I knew I wasn't going to get an answer. You know, I had no business asking, or I needed to change my attitude. And I asked the Lord a question, and I honestly didn't know if I was going to get just an immediate answer, but I said, "Lord, why? Why would you create a creation knowing everything that's going to transpire?" The Lord knew everything that was going to transpire up till now, and He knows what's going to happen in the future. Now, He doesn't control that. He doesn't dictate that. You can't take it the next step into Calvinism and say, "Que sera, sera," it's already set and ordered and all that. But the Lord knew what was going to happen. I'm like, "Lord, why?" You know, it says that we were formed in Christ before the foundation of the world. So if we are formed in Christ, created in Christ before the foundation of the world, that means God knew that Adam was going to sin, because we couldn't have been formed and created in Christ if Adam didn't sin first. That had to happen. So God knew the sin was going to come. He knew Adam was going to blow it. And if, you know, some people complain about Adam, well, I don't know why he had to. Man, if everybody lived a perfect life and we got down to the year 2013, you probably would have been the first person to sin if I didn't beat you to it. So we have nothing to complain about. Hallelujah. I was like, "Lord, why in your wisdom, foreseeing everything?" Because, you know, sometimes you think, and maybe we've heard it said that almost preached or regarded like the sin and the fall of man was something God didn't know was going to happen, and He wasn't totally prepared for, and now we're on plan B. But much more was the gift of grace. You can read in Romans. So we're not on plan B. We went from plan A to plan A plus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you tonight, I thank God for the Garden of Eden, but I'm not interested in going back to the Garden of Eden. I think it's better to go into the presence of God washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the Garden of Eden in heaven someday, but it's great now. Hallelujah. But Lord, I was asking, Lord, why, with all your wisdom and everything, why would you create a creation with so much grief, heartache, and sorrow when you look around? And I think, you know, I'm going through something hard, but you think of the genocide in Africa and things, and, you know, the unbearable things that have taken place in this world. And I ask the Lord, why would you create a creation with so much grief and heartache and pain and sorrow? Because when you're going through it, it's like the book of Job. If everything's going great, you just go right over the book of Job. I mean, you're like going through Esther, and then you go straight to Psalms. I don't need the book of Job right now, but well, when you need the book of Job, you're reading the book of Job, trying to find out what you did wrong. You know, what's the answer to this situation? You know what I'm talking about. I'm having a little fun with it, but when I ask that question, Lord, why would you create a creation with this grief and sorrow? And you think that's a negative thing to say, but when you're going through it, Your perspective is just that way. And you think, Lord, what? And he just said, just like that, he said, because it's not over yet. Because it's not over yet. And that had so much revelation inside that one statement. And I thought, surely, Troy, if the Lord, this was going through my mind, I thought, surely, if the Lord was going to answer my question, it would be so deep and so profound that I would never understand it. You know, I'm going to have to pray in tongues for 10 hours just to try to get the first line, because that's such a complicated question. Nobody could ever figure that out. But the Lord just, I mean, straight, as quick as could be, he said, because it's not over yet. And I want you to know tonight that your situation is not over yet, regardless of what it looks like. What you're going through is not over yet. God has a far more exceeding weight of glory. He told the disciples, he said that you have 30, 60, and 100-fold, not only in this lifetime, but in the lifetime to come. So it's here on earth and it's in heaven. I want to encourage you tonight that if it's been that way for you, if you've been reading through the book of Job trying to figure out what you did wrong and why you got this problem, if you've been going through something that's difficult, you don't know what you're going to do, I want you to know that it is not over. Hallelujah. It is not over yet. That's the title of my message tonight. It is not over yet. God's plan is not finished. You see, Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." But he said that before he died, which is obviously 3 days before he even raised from the dead. But yet he already said it's finished. Jesus on the cross was so much more important than one man. Although that's more important than anything, Jesus being raised from the dead. But it involved you and it involved me. It involved every person out here on the streets of Fort Worth that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And all around the entire world, all of this was at stake. And so Jesus said, "It is finished." And I want you to know that God has a greater work going on the inside of you than you are aware. And so let patience have its perfect work on the inside of you so that you'll be perfect and entire, lacking and wanting nothing. Can you say amen tonight? It is not finished for you. In Luke 24, verses 1 through 8, this is the last thing we're going to read. I just want you to see this. This hit me so strong. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So here in verse 1, they were bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So Jesus had told them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up." He said, "The Son of Man is going to be crucified and then he's going to be raised from the dead." He had told these disciples, they had heard. He had just blatantly, flat out told them, "I'm going to raise from the dead." And it's all throughout scriptures. Man, the number of prophecies coming to pass in the life of Jesus from the Old Testament are abundant, hundreds of them. So they had all of the evidence from God. He had spoken to them and told them what's going to happen. "I'm going to raise from the dead." But yet, here they are on the third day. They're not coming to the tomb with a camera to take a picture of an empty tomb because they know he raised from the dead. They're coming to the tomb with spices because they're going to anoint him. Interesting. And just as a side note, it seems to me it'd be real frustrating if you're God and you've told everybody all these things. You raised Lazarus from the dead. You raised the widow woman's son at Nain from the dead. And then you say, I'm going to raise myself from the dead. And then that you do it, and they're still coming to your tomb bringing spices because they want to anoint you for your burial. Verse 3, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as there were two, as there were, they were much perplexed thereabout. He's gone. I mean, do you see the kind of the humor here? They're like, what happened to Jesus? Him raising from the dead never crossed their mind. He told them bluntly, flat out, I'm going to raise from the dead. Never crossed their mind. They're looking at the empty tomb. They still, you know, were the same way. And they, as they were afraid and bowed unto their faces to the earth, they said unto them, I skipped a verse. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, the two men said, why seek you the living among the dead? So here we have two angels. They know what's going on. But I want you to see here that they received and benefited from the resurrection from the dead, even though their faith wasn't there, because their heart was right. And I want to tell you tonight that you, when you're going through something you don't understand and you can't figure out, if you can just keep your heart right, if you can just maintain your integrity before God, don't let bitterness and offense get in at anybody. Don't let bitterness and offense get in at God. And do everything you know to do. They had heard he was going to raise from the dead, but yet here they are. They didn't believe a word of it. They wanted it to believe. But I'm telling you, sometimes God just does something in our lives that is greater than we can hang on to. And I want you to know, it's like Pastor said over the years, when you think your faith has failed, it really hasn't. If you can just keep your heart right, you're going to make it through. If you can just keep your heart right, even though your faith may have missed the mark, if your heart's there, their heart was after Jesus. They weren't out complaining. They weren't out in the courtyard of the local market griping and gossiping about, well, Peter, you know, if he hadn't have done this, and just gossiping and saying things. They weren't out getting offended. They weren't out at a bar getting drunk. Their hearts were right in the middle of the absolute worst. Well, how many times is the Lord working something in their life and he plainly tells us beforehand? You can study it out in Scripture. The Lord has a pattern before the storm comes. Every time I've studied it and in Scripture, he gives the word before the storm comes. The Lord tells us beforehand. We already know. How many times do we just get, God, I can't believe this. There's no way, God, you can do this. You can't. There's no way. And if you had never thought that before, then just pretend with me for a minute. And you're like these people, and I'm like these people, these ladies coming to anoint the body of Jesus. Just we heard the word. It was our faith just fell flat. But if your heart is right, you're going to make it through. Don't let the devil come in with bitterness and offense against anybody, and bitterness and offense especially against God. Because if you do, they would have not been able to take him part in the resurrection. Man, they're in history now, these ladies that came. Now, they were the first people to see that Jesus was raised from the dead. What an honor, what a privilege. But if they were bitter and offended at God, yeah, they'd have found out later after Peter and Doubting Thomas finally decided he'd get on board. But they'd have missed this opportunity that God had for them to be a part of the gospel that's preached around the world. Because they let bitterness and offense get in. Don't let bitterness and offense get in for any reason. Don't let, and I've been, man, I don't know about you, but we got to have a heart. And I've been crying out to God, God, don't let there be any guile. Don't let there be any wicked way. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, if there's anything wrong, make it right. Lord, if there are any desires in my heart that are wrong, Lord, just remove them. Shut the door. Slam the door in my face. Don't be nice about it. Pull it out. Get it out. And only put your desires in my heart and fulfill those desires. Let my life be right. Let everything in my heart be right. Because I'm telling you, God will do things in the lives of people that are beyond. And sometimes our faith is just going to fall flat. But it's not always about your faith being perfect. But God wants your heart to be perfect towards him. And you're going to make it through this. Hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Because it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And I don't know how that applies to you. You may not even know how it applies to yourself, but just believe that it is not over yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So keep your heart right before God and before people. Do not, listen to me, do not get offended and mad against people, even though you know they did wrong. I'm telling you, as Christians, a lot of Christians, like Pastor said, the offenses can be the legal drug of Christians. As Christians, we think I can forgive up to a certain point. But if so-and-so does anything that I perceive beyond that, then I'm not forgiving them and I'm going to go tell everybody about it. No, when you feel like I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what they did was wrong, and this saint that came in, this and that, you got to forgive and you got to keep your heart right. Because if you don't, you're going to skew yourself off track and you're going to miss what God has for you. Oh, I hope you heard that tonight. It's not over yet. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Keep your heart right and maintain your integrity. If your heart is right before God, you'll reap the harvest of resurrection, even if your own belief falls short. Humility before God is the greatest guarantee of the will of God. You may want to write that one down. Humility before God is the greatest guarantee of the will of God. If you can just stay humble before God. If your actions are wrong, repent, get your heart right immediately, and things are going to be okay. Don't think because you made a mistake, oh, I've thrown my life off track, and I can't fix things, God can't fix things, I went and mouthed off to so-and-so, and they're never going to know. If you made a mistake, repent, get it right, and you're going to be on track within the next half second. Just get it right and keep it right, because it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Hallelujah. An exceeding weight of glory here in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come is waiting on you, and it's not over yet. The answer to, Lord, why would you make a creation with grief, pain, and sorrow in it? I mean, really. I mean, if I were God, I'm thinking, God, I would at least eased up maybe 90%. That's a lot, you know, and I'll take 90% of all this pain and stuff out. I'd have eased up a little bit. I don't know. Nobody understands the wisdom of God and why he created everything. And we don't have to. But Lord, I'm like, Lord, maybe couldn't you have just made things a little bit easier? I mean, did it have to be this hard? But he says it's not over yet. We want to judge things right here in the here and now. I'm 37 years old, so I've got 37 years of wisdom, which is nothing to brag about. If you want to look within my 37 years, this is what all I know, so this isn't working, God. You should change this, and you should change that. But God's not looking at 37 years. He's not looking at 80 years. He's looking at eternity. God's got an exceeding weight of glory waiting for us in eternity. You're an eternal being. God is working an eternal work on the inside of you right now, so don't stun it or lose it because of temporary circumstances. God is working an eternal work on the inside of you right now, so don't stun it or lose it because of temporary circumstances that you don't understand. Hallelujah, God's doing it. Last thing that I want to say is get the joy and excitement back before the miracle comes. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be dragged across the finish line. I don't want to be laying there 50 yards away from a 100-yard dash. And then somebody says, Dave, your breakthrough came. Why don't you get up? And they got a wheelchair me across the finish line. I'm telling you, that ain't going to happen. I want to be running and sprinting full speed across that finish line. So don't let go of your faith. And if the best things that you know to do is just go to Jesus' tomb and bring spices to anoint him for the burial, then do what you can, but just keep moving forward and don't quit. Get the joy and the excitement back before the miracle comes. Let me say that again. Get the joy and the excitement back before your miracle comes. Man, I don't want to be one that was all gloom, sullen, and sad before the miracle came. And then I'm shouting and running around and getting all excited. And then the whole church knows Dave wasn't walking in faith. Get your excitement and your joy back before the miracle comes. Start to run around and shout like it's already happened. Hallelujah. Because it has. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get your excitement and your joy back. Hallelujah. I got to read this to you. Habakkuk 3:17. Hallelujah. And I should have bookmarked Habakkuk. I'm on getting to Nahum and Habakkuk. All righty, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. We're going to wrap it up here real quick. And he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines. This is bad news. Bad news. The fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Rejoice means that you got to stir up the joy again. Joy in the Lord and the God of my salvation means you got to be happy, smiling and laughing and rejoicing and praising God. Hallelujah. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. So you know what? You read this, you just say, yet, though the fig tree shall not blossom, no fruit be on the vine, though this is going on, yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. God, I praise you. I thank you for victory in this situation. I rejoice. I'm going to stir up the joy of the Lord on the inside of me again. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to say, ha, 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 ho, 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 he, he, he. Lord, fill me. And let the joy of the Lord begin to rise up on the inside of you. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Psalms 126, our mouths were filled with laughter. I'm telling you, God has already taken care of everything. And even though there might be more pain, difficulty that awaits us, praise God, yet we are going to rejoice in the Lord and we're going to joy in the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, church, get your joy and your rejoicing back. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that the greatest days of Calvary Cathedral lie at the door. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stir up the joy. Stir up the rejoicing. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Psalms 98:4, make a joyful noise, make a loud noise, rejoice and sing praise. Hallelujah. I'll make a joyful noise. Oh, hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. I make a joyful noise. I make a loud noise. Psalms 98:4, I make a loud noise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I make a loud noise. I make a joyful noise. Hallelujah, because you've answered and given every single breakthrough. I make a joyful noise. I make a loud noise because every seat in this house is filled in every single service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not over yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You got to read the Psalms and then do the Psalms. Psalm 13, boy, this was an arrow of the Lord. Pastor, when you preached this several weeks ago, I just sat there with my jaw open. Psalm 13, I'm going to read the whole thing while you're standing up. How long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Consider me, hear me, O Lord. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I moved. Verse 5, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to walk around sad with a cloud of gloom following me everywhere that I go. I'm going to sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. My heart shall rejoice in his salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. My heart shall rejoice in his salvation. Heart, you may not want to, but you shall do it. Let me tell you, heart, I've learned to serve the Lord with my spirit. Romans 1:9. Spirit, tell the heart you're going to rejoice. Body, you begin to open your mouth, you begin to shout, and you begin to praise God. Because we ain't throwing in the towel. Because it is not over yet. Hallelujah. 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 Get your joy back, and you will get your victory back. Get your joy back, and you will get your strength back. Man, it says in Daniel that the devil's trying to wear out the saints of God. Get your joy back and stop getting worn out. Begin to wear the devil out. All he has is a bunch of lies and a smoke screen. Hallelujah. Get your joy back tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 It shall be unto me according to the word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Psalms 30, verse 5, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning because it is not over yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The full God-given desire of your heart is coming. So rejoice beforehand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to stretch our hands towards Pastor and just focus your faith in anointing, Lord. We just bless Pastor. Pastor Nichols coming into the 50th year. Hallelujah. With fresh joy. Fresh strength in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, strength by the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabba Karama, we support, we strengthen, we undergird our pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, could we shout the shout of victory tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, could we shout the shout of victory tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.